Praise the Lord. Good morning. Come on, it's a great day to praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Good morning to all of our online family, everyone at Philly Tabernacle. We are one church in two cities. Could we praise God for everyone in Philadelphia? Hallelujah. Amen. So excited to be continuing on our Holy Suggestions series. And you know what's interesting is a lot of people got really excited and responded very well to rebuking the devil. We talked about different ways to resist and reject the enemy of our soul. And you know, titles like that are so exciting. And it's a very wise thing for us to be aware of what the enemy is doing. But can I tell you something? This series is really about how we build our lives and how we align ourselves with God and His kingdom. That's what wisdom actually means. God gives us these holy suggestions, and then we get to align. We've been putting up the definition of wisdom. Wisdom is aligning. Everybody say aligning. Okay, wisdom is aligning our lives and thinking to God's truth, purposes, and design. Have you aligned yourself this week? Have you been aligning yourself in the last month? Not with what the world says, not with what you think, but with God's truth, purposes, and designs for your life. When we align, then wisdom becomes very, very powerful to us. And this week, we're going to address something that is so very basic, so powerful, so practical, something that all of us want. And so we're actually going to be coming from the book of Ecclesiastes, which is another book about wisdom. It's a unique book because in the book of Ecclesiastes, it actually speaks to outcomes. So sometimes it's really positive, but sometimes Ecclesiastes could be very negative because the writer was talking about when he tried things that were not wise. He's saying, man, it didn't turn out well. That's the book of Ecclesiastes is a very unique book. We're going to be coming from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, one of my favorite passages in the book we're going to be covering today. But I want to start with verse 1 to speak to this very practical, very important issue that we're going to be discussing today. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1 says, who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? Right? What's the wise person like? What's it like for the wise person is what this is saying. And here's what it says. It says, a person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Okay, so look at me. When you walk in wisdom, you go from... How many want to be happy? Come on, wisdom makes you happy. So look, the GNT says, only the wise know what things really mean. Right? Wisdom makes them, everyone, smile and makes their frowns disappear. Okay? Wisdom has this incredible capacity to remove the frowns and to make us smile. I mean, I know that this sounds kind of silly or infantile, but it's not. The title of today's message is Wisdom Makes You Happy. Anybody here want to be happy? Come on, anybody want to be happy? You know, some of us guys, we are way too serious. Come on, brothers, practice. Come on, everybody practice smiling. Just go like this. Come on, you can do it. Wisdom makes you happy. Wisdom has an ability long term to make you wake up in such a way that you're just like, even though, look, in our world, we're blanketed by discouragement, fear, bad news, division, depression. And now the Bible comes along. Here's the word of the Lord. The Bible comes along and says, if you operate in wisdom, you will be happy. If you pursue wisdom, you'll be happy in your career. If you pursue wisdom, you'll be happy in your relationships. If you pursue wisdom, you'll be happy with your finances. Like on and on. If you pursue wisdom, you'll be happy with your state of health. Whatever facet of your life that you might have some challenges in, I'm telling you right now, the key to happiness is wisdom. Wisdom will change the way you wake up. When someone pursues wisdom, they go to sleep and they sleep well. You know why? Because when you've spent your day saying, hey, look, I was trying to honor God, honor his word, honor people, like we learned last week. We learned wisdom secures favor with God and man. We learned that wisdom is choosing life, the tree of life. We learned that wisdom is fearing God and getting in the presence of God, which we'll talk some more about today. When you go to sleep after a day of pursuing wisdom, you rest well. Nothing is chasing you. Nothing is like coming after you. You've got no, you're not hiding. You're just resting. Because wisdom will make you happy. So if you're here today, like, man, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, why not stop and say, well, in these different areas, how aligned am I with God's wisdom? Let's try it God's way. Somebody say amen. We're going to try this God's way. We're going to align with God and watch how wisdom starts to bring love and joy and peace to the inner man, to your inner being, your spirit that Chrissy was talking about. And then it starts to spill over into your relationships and everything that you're doing. So now let's read all, we're gonna do 8 verses today. We'll do this again. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. A king's word is supreme. Who can say to him, what are you doing? Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm. And the wise heart, everyone say the wise heart. The wise heart will know. The wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter. Though a person may be weighed down by misery, we'll talk about that in a moment. Now, these two verses, I typically, when I've preached on this, I left these two out, but felt like God gave me some more light. So watch this. Since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? Nobody can. But how many know God knows what's to come? And how many know God can lead us if we walk in wisdom? And then it says, as no one has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has power over the time of their death. Remember, I told you, Ecclesiastes gives the good, but some of the very challenging negative outcomes of not aligning with wisdom. Watch this. As no one is discharged in the time of war, like if you get drafted, you can't leave, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. This is deep. So we have wisdom will make you happy, and then we have wickedness won't let you go. What do you want to choose? I'm going with happy. How many want to go with wisdom? Hallelujah. One more, and then we'll pray for a moment. Proverbs 3:13 says, Happy is the person who finds wisdom, which means today, starting today, you can find wisdom. And the one who gains understanding, we can find wisdom, we can gain understanding. And when we do, we will be happy, because that's what God promises. So let me pray right now. Father, thank you that, Lord, you're with us, you're for us. Your word says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You're greater than our enemies. You're greater than our obstacles and our foes. But Lord, you do give us the ability to pursue wisdom. We can choose wisdom. And when we choose wisdom, one of the great blessings of it is that we live happy and content and joyful and peaceful. And Father, I pray for everyone watching online. I pray for our family in Chicago, in Philadelphia. And I pray for everyone here, Lord. I pray for the blessings that wisdom brings, the blessings of joy and peace, the blessings of a smile when we wake up, of a smile when we go to bed. God, I thank you that this is a hard life, but we serve a good, good Father. And you are able to make things good. Your will is good and pleasing and perfect, oh God. So Lord, we're not afraid of the future because of who is in us and with us and for us. But Lord, help us to become wiser. Help us to choose wisdom. And may your wisdom make every home filled with your happiness and blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, come on, let's praise God who gives us happiness. Hallelujah. Okay, so what does happiness actually mean? How do we break this down? Well, when you look at that word, wisdom brightens a person's face. Here's what it literally means. And I want you to apply this. Look, the tough thing about wisdom messages is that there's concepts that if you don't take the principle and make it personal, you could say, okay, but it doesn't mean anything. This message requires your participation, and you're saying, how does my life fit in that truth? Okay, that's what you got to do. So watch this. It means to be or become light, but light in the sense of a lack of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Some people have social and emotional heaviness. Okay, it's like, and it also means light in the sense of shining in the dark. When we're happy, when we're full of the joy of the Lord, we can go into this world and shine for Jesus. Anybody here want to shine for Jesus? Hallelujah. Just because the world is heavy doesn't mean we have to be heavy. You understand? But how do you get that light? It's by pursuing wisdom. That's what wisdom does. It brightens us. It means it will cause you to shine. When you live wisely, people start taking notice. And they go, hey, that's the way to do it. Right there. And then lastly, I love this. Wisdom to brighten mean it's used of the eyes of a faint person who starts to recover. Okay? So it's used of like someone kind of who's weak and then they recover. They get stronger. So, but let me, it kind of like in this sense. So I, you know, my son is, how old is Tommy, 29 now? So my son is 29, so we're going back to when he was around 9 years old. Tommy was into basketball when he was nine. I never played basketball, total scrub at basketball, don't know anything about basketball. But he was playing, and I used to try to help him practice, and I learned, I don't know how I heard it or something, that when he would, and he's pretty good, he played on his school team, played in an AAU league and all that, so I learned, we learned together, I don't remember exactly how, he always went to the hoop on his right, to the right, and somebody said it, you gotta, people are gonna know you're always going to the right. You gotta be able to go left side, which means you gotta be able to dribble with your left hand, all kinds of stuff. So anyway, one day I said to him, well, find out like how to get left and we'll practice it. So anyway, somebody taught him a move, a crossover. You know, when I talk sports, I want you to know, I don't know what I'm talking about, but enough, but I know enough. Okay? So anyway, we start practicing. He's 9 years old. He does this crossover move. He goes to the hoop. I don't know basketball, but I do know athleticism. So when I looked at it, I was like, look, I know that that's not it. Okay? So do it again. Yeah, that wasn't it either, Tommy. Do it again. So, and I grew up with a dad who never went, Dito, he's only 9, you know. We're teaching him how to be men. So anyway, it's like, that's not it, that's not it. At a certain point, he's like, Dad, I'm tired. I'm like, hey, I know you're tired, but this is what makes you a superior athlete. Your mind is stronger than your body. Okay, practice again. Left. So finally he was like, Dad, and then he kind of started crying a little. I said, all right, look, all I want you to do is do it right one time. Then we'll go home. So you're like, oh, what a mean dad. You don't get it. Okay? Because when he goes to work today and wakes up early and works really hard, it's no problem. Nothing phasing. You know why? Because we started building muscles since he was young. Okay? But that's beside the point. Let's keep on going. It's just for every, you know, the participation trophy people, like, everybody should have a trophy. Not really, but let's keep going. So anyway, he does it. We go home. We're driving home. He's not too happy. 2 weeks go by. He's in a game. I'm sitting in the bleachers. And I told him, you know, go right in the beginning of the game. But once they start getting used to it, then go left. So sure enough, like second quarter, I don't know. He does this crossover move, shakes this guy. It opened up. Laid it up with his left hand, smooth, right? So now 4 plays go by, and finally I'm sitting there, and finally, you know, the game rolls by so that he could get close to me. He goes, hey, Dad, it was really good that we practiced that, wasn't it, right? Then he keeps on going. You know what the moral of the story is wisdom long-term makes you happy. Wisdom makes you happy. Okay, if you do things a wise way, you may not have that short-term satisfaction, I need rest. You may not have that, oh, poor me. Wisdom will make you strong. Wisdom will help you to overcome. Wisdom will do all of these things. And in the long run, guess what? Wisdom will make you happy. You see, now the reason why this is so important is because all day long we are pre-programmed, we are bombarded in big ways and subtle ways. Our children are bombarded with these thoughts and demonic suggestions that say, don't follow wisdom. So I was in a eating lunch someplace, and this thing came up. This was, sorry for all the sports stuff, right? So this was on ESPN. Aaron Rodgers was being interviewed. Watch this. Super Bowl champ. You got to look closely. Super Bowl champ. He won the Super Bowl. 4-time NFL MVP. Okay, good job. Then ayahuasca enthusiast. Ayahuasca's drugs. So somebody at ESPN thought that it would be funny or clever to connect his success, Super Bowl champ, 4-time NFL MVP, with doing drugs. There it is. Demonic suggestion. So he's with the Jets now. He hasn't, but he used to be with the Packers. So maybe there's a boy who's 16, right? If we're not schooling our kids, there might be a boy who's 16 in Green Bay because he used to play for the Packers. And I don't know how many fans he has yet because he hasn't done much. But But there's some kid who had his poster on the wall who wants to be a quarterback, and he might have that suggestion that says, what's this ayahuasca stuff? Some drugs that make you hallucinate and all this, and they have all of these theories or whatever. Look, drugs are stupid to take. Could somebody say amen? All the time, our kids and us, demonic suggestions. It's everywhere. And if we're not paying attention, you know, I forget the illustration of maybe birds or penguins or something. One walks off the cliff, and then the next one walks off the cliff, and then the next one walks off the cliff. Be wise. Don't walk off the cliff. We have to pay attention to wisdom. If you don't think about it, you will be swept away by the foolishness of this world. Okay? With your finances, with your marriage. Okay? Not all marriage advice is good advice. You know? With your dating, all of these different things. There is wisdom. So this passage unpacks some very important things about wisdom that you and I need to pay attention to. And let me just say one more before I unpack those things. Like, if you remove the top 10% of your life and the bottom 10% of your life, right? Top 10% are blessings, one-time blessings. You get married, it's a blessing. You have a child, like you buy a home, like there's these blessings. They're kind of top 10, they're good things that happen to us. We all have that. It's more like one time, right? But then there's the bottom 10%. Everybody has their own bottom 10%. Crises that come, things that were unavoidable, inexplicable. Why did this hard thing hit your life? I don't really know why. It's because we have a fallen world. Jesus said, in this life comes many troubles. And we all have our bottom 10%. The Bible says each heart knows its own bitterness. No one can share his joy. So you have a special brand of sorrow and bitterness that's just unique to being on the planet. When we get to heaven, no more tears, no more sorrows. How many are looking for the day when all of that is gone? But until then, guess what? Everybody has top 10, top bottom 10%. Now, the real key is the 80%. How much do you align with wisdom, with the day-to-day, the rank-and-file stuff, the ins and outs? How do you align with wisdom? Because that determines the quality of your life, okay? Yes, have my wife and I, we love the Lord. Have we been brokenhearted? Have we been sad in this life? Have we had difficulties? Everybody has difficulties. You know, have we been deeply disappointed and hurt? Yes. Have we been really happy and all? Yes. But the 80% is all about aligning with everyone, wisdom. Okay? It's all about wisdom. Don't make every part of your life the unavoidable bottom, the it's not my fault, but no. Yes, some hard things happen, some challenging things happen in life. It hit you like a truck. And by his grace is sufficient. He will keep you. He will help you. We talked about it last week. You know, he will prepare a table in the presence of our enemies. How many would say amen? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, sometimes we go through that. God will be with you. But the 80% is all about wisdom. So let's unpack three quick things that are very, very important for us to understand about wisdom, because wisdom is actually God's happiness principle for all of us. Number one, the Bible teaches us here that wisdom comes from the King's presence. Everyone say the King's presence. If you look at the text, it says, obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm. So the first thing it says is, look, wisdom comes from the king's presence, the top predictor of your and my ability to walk in wisdom and to receive wisdom is how comfortable we are and how frequently we go into the king's presence. This is what separates Christianity from all other religions and philosophies. This is what makes our God different, because God actually wants to meet with you and be with you. See, God is not into religion. He's not into you putting 45 minutes online. Come on, it's time to come back to church, folks. COVID is over. That's wisdom, right? It's like, oh, it's so comfortable. Yeah, but is it wise for you now just to do church online? It's not wise. If you're sick, it's wise. If you're not well, it's wise. But come on, connect with the body of Christ. Do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Hallelujah. Oh no, he's going there. Wisdom will help you. You see, but you've got to get comfortable in the king's presence. See, for me, like, our church is not, quote, I don't like the word successful. I don't use successful, I use fruitful. How do we determine the fruitfulness of this church? Part of the way I do is how comfortable you are in worship. Okay, when I look out and I see how, I'm worshiping God, but I glance over because I got to know how the sheep are doing. Okay? So I'm telling you right now what's most important to me. One of the things that's most important to me, I emphasize this a lot, is are you comfortable? Don't show up to church at 20 minutes after because I just want the word. No, that's telling you something. Guess where wisdom is released? It's in the king's presence. Don't rush out of the king's presence. Learn to be comfortable in the king's presence. Okay? What we do here, you should do in your house. You understand? Yeah. You need to learn how to worship God. You need to learn how to be in his presence. Sing to him. I just want to be where you are. That should be going up from, like, when you're in the elevator. I just want to be near your heart. You know? Like, these kinds of things should be flowing out of you all day long, because it's in the king's presence that he does something when we're in his presence. See, a lot of people with their head can say yes to God, but their heart and their will keep saying no. That's really good. We say yes with our head, with our heart and our will, we say no. Okay, why? It's because only the presence of the king will bend your heart and your will. You see, when you're in the presence of the king and you stay in the presence of the king, it's like getting a holy suntan. You get into the presence of the sun long enough and it gives you a tan. At least some of us, sorry. Some of us just get red, but you get the point. You get into the presence of God, and guess what? He changes your heart. You see? So how do you get over drugs? How do you get over drug addiction? You could go to 49 programs. I'm going to tell you right now, okay? And I know this. My preaching, anybody's preaching, it should help you. But if you don't go with that truth by faith into the king's presence, no change. That's why I pray that way. I don't want you to go home saying, what a great message. I want you to go home saying, what a great God. What a great Jesus we serve. Hallelujah. Please, please, please learn how to rush into the King's presence. Learn how to hang out in the King's presence. Some people used to hang out at a bar. Some people used to hang out at the strip club. Some people used to hang out over here and hang out over there. Well, why are you so changed? It's because I don't hang out there. I hang out in the King's presence. Hallelujah. And watch, what happens is when you hang out in the King's presence, you stop standing up for the wrong cause. You see, you stop aligning with the wrong things because God did something more than in your head. God did something in your heart. And I'm telling you, if you get into his presence, he will change you. But that's the key. The key is the presence of the Lord, that you and I have access, if they could send me a keyboard player, you and I have access to all the time. We can always run to him and begin our own little worship service. And the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. If you can just learn how to get to God and stay in the presence of God, all of a sudden, your desires start to change, your intuition starts to change. And guess what? You start to change. And all of a sudden, you start smiling a lot more. Because wisdom will make you happy. You know, by the way, like, let's take Dr. Allen, you know, the guy who prayed for the offering. He's a doctor. He's a heart surgeon. But you know what? Even though he's a heart surgeon, he's got like, I don't know how many years it takes to become a... I mean, think about this. The bell, he has a buzzer with him sometimes. The thing buzzes. He's in church. He jumps up, runs out. He's got 45 minutes to be in somebody's heart. Okay? So, like, talk about no... I can't even... Just thinking about that makes my stomach queasy. Right? How smart, how this, how that. But even though he's a doctor, even though he's a heart surgeon, he knows that smarts to help repair someone's heart is not greater than wisdom that says, I come into the presence of the King. Come on, somebody say amen. Businessmen, housewives. We got a guy who's a bench coach for the Chicago Bulls. Doesn't matter where you are. We're talking about bigger things than our simple career, which we make such a big deal about. Okay? Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Okay? But Jesus will remain Lord of all. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Could somebody say amen? If you think you're too smart to worship, then you're actually going in the other direction. Okay? Big, big deal. One quick quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones. I got to rush to the end here. Listen to what Martin Lloyd-Jones said. He said, man's happiness was never meant to be determined by his circumstances. And that is the fatal blunder that we all tend to make. Man's happiness depends on one thing only, and that is his relationship to God. We cannot get it anywhere else. We must come back to the soul and to God who made it. We were made for him. We are meant for him. We have a correspondence with him, which is his word. And we will never come to rest until, like that needle on the compass, we strike that northern point, and there we come to rest, nowhere else. Jesus is the North Star. His presence is where you and I need to be. And when we get there, we rest. When we get there, we receive. When we get there, we're transformed. Wisdom comes from the King's presence. Hallelujah. A little bit more. Wisdom gives us the way, okay? The Bible says the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure for every matter. There's a way. Everybody say there's a way. God's way. Okay, part two was more important than part one. Everybody say God's way. God's way is the way. There's a way to date. There's a way to study. There's a way to unfold your career. There's a way to be married. There's a way to handle your finances. Wisdom will give you the way. There's a proper timing. There's a proper procedure. There's a time to buy a house. There's a time to wait. You got to get ready to buy a house. There's a way. There's a wisdom. Wisdom knows the proper time and the procedure. And notice it says, even though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. So here's what happens. You get into the king's presence and you're like, I want this. I want this. And God says, not the right time. It is my will, but just not yet. But I'm miserable. Yeah, but you'll be way more miserable if you get out of God's will. How many of them, there's miserable, then there's the real miserable. You get what I'm saying? There is a way for all of these things, and there's a way to resolve that problem. There's a way to build your career. I was talking to someone not too long ago in this past year, and they literally said to me, listen closely. They said, look, if I don't cheat this time, then it's all gonna fall apart. And I'm like, no, one more cheat is not gonna help you. If you cheat again, it may all fall apart. Turn it around and do it God's way. And then the mercy of God is available. The power of God is available. The heavens open up to you. So listen, I read this in a business book. All you business folks, this is a cool book. I love the title, The Road Less Stupid. He said, I don't need to do more smart things. I just need to do fewer dumb things. I need to avoid making emotional decisions and swinging at bad pitches. I need to think. You need to find God's way. How do you want me to do this? What does the Bible say about how to do this? One more quick quote. We're almost done here. The Happiness Advantage says this. Happiness is not the belief that we don't need to change. It's the realization that we can. You can change if you go the way of wisdom. And God will be sure to show us. So how do I describe wisdom? Almost done. Wisdom, in a sense, is putting your faith in what God says despite short-term appearances. You know? So, I mean, there's just, you and I could have dozens and dozens and dozens of examples, right? I tell you, I first became a Christian. One of my family members was getting married. The bachelor party, they were bringing strippers, all this kind of stuff. I had just become a Christian. They said, so I told my mom, I'm not going to that, you know. And they started making fun of me. You know, the guy calls me and says, you're such a fanatic. You're such this, you're such that. Okay? That guy's family is gone today. You know why? Because short term does not mean blessing. Short term doesn't mean real happiness. Okay? Come on, everyone smile. I'm so, it's not negative like this for me. This is good stuff. Good advice, delivering us from evil. You know, it might look good, but that doesn't mean it is good. It might feel good, but that doesn't mean it is good. You know, don't go with the mainstream. Find God's way. And don't say, well, it's that you don't understand. My situation is so unique that you just don't get it. I may not get it, but God always gets it. your situation, if it aligns with God's word, it releases blessing. If it doesn't, no blessing. How many want to respond to every holy suggestion? Could I see your hands? Come on, put your hands up for me. Come on, let's put our hands together and say, we want your will, your way. Okay. Closing thought, and then we're going to actually pray and respond to the Lord. The last two verses speak to something very, very powerful that I think people don't understand, which is this. Wisdom keeps us from the grip. Everybody say the grip. Wisdom keeps us from the grip of wickedness. So watch this. Since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? And as no one has the power over the wind to contain it, so no one has the power over the time of their death. As no one, everybody say no one, as no one is discharged in a time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. So there's a warning where wisdom is saying, look, if you join that team, I'm gonna tell you right now, there's gonna come a point when the bullets start flying that you're gonna say, I wish I wasn't on this team. When the consequences start to unfold, you're gonna say, I don't wanna be on this team, I don't wanna be on this team. And you're like, the name of the Lord is the strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Do you know how many times I've pleaded with people and then they're stuck? You understand? And then we have to pray and intercede and cry out to God. Now, here's the good news. The good news is that God is rich in mercy. And if you're trapped by wickedness, if wickedness has a hold on you, if like you're in the wrong situation, if you made the wrong decision, if you committed your family in the wrong direction, we serve the mighty God who's mighty to deliver if we cry out for mercy. Pastor just told me this week, listen, this week, and I'll close with this. Young lady says to him, I need you to pray for me. I'm so full of anxiety. I can't sleep. I'm struggling. I'm this. And the pastor says, well, tell me what's going on in your life, this and that. And she says, well, you know, I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to serve God. And, you know, my boyfriend, he wakes up in the middle of the night with me, and he tries to pray for me. Okay? And your boyfriend is a Christian? No, he's from another faith. So he doesn't acknowledge the power of Christ. He doesn't acknowledge the blood of Jesus. He doesn't acknowledge his saving grace, the free gift of salvation. He doesn't recognize the wisdom of the word. Well, the pastor says to the young lady, I totally get why you're so stressed out. You're sleeping in the wrong bed. You're hanging with the wrong guy. There's so many things that are wrong about your life. You feel no sense of security. You feel no, you go to bed, you wake up, there's no sense of foundation under you. Don't you know that if you choose God's will, God's way, he will bless you? You gotta get out of that. You gotta let that go. I promise you're gonna sleep well. So sure enough, 4 days later, she calls him back. Guess what? I said, hey brother, you gotta step, get going. Off he goes. Is that mean? No, that's not mean. That's wise. Okay? Because you don't want to be with a person who doesn't want to lead you to Christ. You don't want to be with a person who doesn't honor Christ. It doesn't mean you hate them. We love everybody. But when it comes to your life, you got to choose wisdom. Come on, our children need to choose wisdom, the will of God, the way of God. If he needs help, should you help him? Of course, do whatever. But that doesn't mean you throw your lot in with them. I'm going to follow Jesus. So 4 days later, I did this, I did that. Pastor, I feel so good. I'm sleeping great. You know why? It's because wisdom makes you happy. Wisdom makes you happy. And let me tell you something. Wisdom is for all of us.